Shanil Lal is a Fijian born and raised Indigenous queer activist currently studying a conjoint Bachelor of Law and Arts at the University of Auckland, majoring in Psychology for the Arts. They are a vocal and respected activist and advocate for Indigenous folk and the LGBTQ plus communities. They are a founder of the Conversion Therapy Action Group, a group working to end conversion therapy in Aotearoa, New Zealand. They have worked alongside the Ministry of Education to design a more inclusive education system. Shanil was selected as the Global Youth Leader for Open Government Partnership and sat on the Amnesty International Global Youth Task Force. In 2019, Shanil joined the Executive Board of Rainbow Youth. Shanil is on the line now and also on our 531 PI Facebook page live feed. Good morning, Shanil, and thank you so much for making time to have a chat with us this morning.
Morena, thank you for having me.
It is our pleasure indeed. Now, let's go back to the beginning for you. Born and raised in Fiji, what was it like? Where did you grow up in Fiji, and what was it like growing up in Fiji?
I was born in Fiji in 2000, but I did not grow up in my granddad's village because there was a little bit of disconnect from there. So my granddad's village is Mokia in Rewa. But I grew up in Nosori. And I mean, growing up in Fiji is very interesting because some of the people are the kindest people you'd meet. But that kindness comes with an exception.
Yes, yes. Yeah. You must have struggled with some of that growing up there, the exception.
Absolutely. I think that, and given we're talking about queer things, the word queer or the word homosexual or the proper vocabulary to describe queer people was never really in the vocabulary. So we never quite had the opportunity to explore who we are, who we were. And the only ways that we could explore our identity were through derogatory terms. So the insults and the disrespect. And that is why queer people in the islands aren't able to fully explore their identity because they don't have the resources to do so. But we've also having a crisis in the islands where we have lost touch with our indigenous knowledges. Because if we look back at history, the Samoans have the Fa'afafine, the Tongans have the Fakaleiti, the Hawaiians have the Mahu, the Fijians have the Vakasalewalewa. We all have queer people that are integral to our communities. However, we've lost that.
So in Fiji, did you find other queer people that you could, find that identity within, or did you find yourself alone in that journey?
I would say that in my village, there was a visibly queer person. But you normally see how that person is treated and then decide whether you want to come out of the, what is the closet, come out of, yeah. And one trans person that was living in our village wasn't treated with any respect. In fact, people would yell at her from the bars and spit at her at any given opportunity. So that gave me a message that actually you should hide who you are rather than be who you are. I mean, I did have queer friends in high school. But now that I look back, and they've all been influenced so much by colonial mindsets and Christianity that they've suppressed their identity, it is actually quite sad to watch that happen.
What about at home? Were you able to be yourself at home?
Oh, absolutely not, because I must acknowledge that my parents and my grandparents are also a result of a queerphobic society, a society that is colonized, and are groups of people that have lost contact with the indigenous knowledges. But they too are queerphobic, but they aren't what you would say overtly homophobic and transphobic.
Was that part of what motivated you to leave Fiji, or did you come here for educational purposes?
My family had started to migrate out of Fiji, so my grandparents had moved, and my family's, my dad's brothers and sisters had all moved. We were the last people left in Fiji, really, so we had to move because we didn't really have much family left back at home.
So upon arrival in New Zealand, did you find it a more accepting society compared to Fiji?
Well, I think I had the wrong idea of what Aotearoa was. I expected roses and sunshine, but I was met with the preachers yelling with their Bibles. And I usually share my story of what happened at the Middlemore Hospital. In 2017, I was volunteering at the Middlemore Hospital at the reception. And then this priest walked up to me, and it was summer, of course, and he said, he offered to pray Magewa, and I refused. So his response was, you know, it's hot, but do you know what's hotter? Hell.
Wow.
So some of my very first experiences of being queer in Aotearoa weren't very nice. In fact, when I was in year 11 in high school, we'd have Samoan and Tongan boys, and I say Polynesians are some of the most problematic PIs in New Zealand. He almost threw a chair at me because I refused to accept this idea of homosexuality as a sin.
Oh, gosh. So that experience at Middlemore Hospital, was that part of what made you start the group against therapy, the Conversion Therapy Action Group?
Yeah, it was a part of why I started the Conversion Therapy Action Group. It shocked me to realize that in a country like Aotearoa that has a progressive history on queer rights, still allowed for people to erase queer identities in this century, this year. I mean, it was hard to believe. And so in 2019, when I became the youth MP for Jenny Salesa and I was allowed to speak at Youth Parliament, I spoke about conversion therapy and why we needed to ban it. In that year, I also co-founded the Conversion Therapy Action Group. We've been doing this work for around 3 to 4 years, and we're finally seeing the result.
Yes, it is being introduced into Parliament now as a bill and likely to go through. How are you feeling about that silly question?
Well, I think we need to acknowledge that it is important to get this work done fast, because the longer we wait, the more harm is done. But we also must get it right. This is not marriage equality. You just couldn't get that wrong. Allowing people to marry, no one was being harmed. Whereas conversion therapy is rather complicated and nuanced, in the sense that we have to create a law that protects all and doesn't do unintended harm. So, you know, that any punitive approach, any law that tries to create a criminal activity punishes people of color, Maori and Pacific ethnic communities disproportionately. So we need to ensure that this bill does not become just another law that will mass incarcerate people of color and indigenous people. We also need to ensure that, for example, if you think that an immigrant is in this country and they're being put into conversion therapy by their parents, that young person won't actually come out and say, hey, my parents are putting me through conversion therapy. Because what that could mean for that young person is that their parents' visa is revoked, and that their visa would be revoked too. So there are many complications with how we get this law through. I believe the most important thing for the ministry and the minister to do is talk to the community. I feel like there has been very little of that. There has been very little consultation with the community on what we need, and that is why I don't feel confident with what the ministry is creating.
Have they consulted you, the Conversion Therapy Action Group?
They have not consulted the Conversion Therapy Action Group. However, I did request a meeting, and I ended up getting a 30 minutes with the minister and some members of the ministry. I did bring another trans woman with myself, who's also a person of color. And we kind of distributed 15 minutes between each other, but it wasn't very much of giving him advice rather than asking questions and establishing where they were at. And I did propose to the minister and the ministry that they need to come to our community and start that consultation, because waiting till the select committee process is just not good enough.
Now, just going back to the Polynesian boy who almost threw it. Just going back, Polynesian boy who almost threw a chair at you. You study psychology. What do you think it is that makes us do that?
I would connect this very much to what happened on Saturday. Polynesian Christians who are homophobic and transphobic and claim to be the messenger of God are not messengers of God. They're really the messenger of James Cook. These people are some of the most brainwashed and colonized, and it's really unfortunate to see that happen. They have been convinced, and there's no reasoning behind this, that every single thing that has been written in the Bible is the truth, and there's no critical thinking happening here. And that may offend some people, but honestly, offending people is not my biggest concern, because there are people in my community that are dying that need to be saved. These people are so scared of letting go of what the colonizer has done, and I think a lot of this is just protecting. It's really difficult to understand, because you don't want to pathologize this, because this is a lot of trauma. This is a lot of trauma, and you've seen a lot of brainwashing. And so when we talk about decolonizing, what we need to ensure that protecting queer people and accepting queer people is an integral part of it.
For someone who, like you, when you were in the village in Fiji, might be sitting at home listening, what would you say?
I would say that regardless of whether people accept it or not, Pacific queer people have always been around. And we haven't just been around as ordinary people. We were believed to be gifts from our gods and our ancestors to the people. So I would say to that young person listening that you are divine. You're a gift to our community. You're loved and respected by many of us, and that you should keep going.
Absolutely. We are quickly running out of time, but vocal and respected activist and advocate for the Indigenous folk and LGBTQ plus community, Shaniel Lal, thank you very much for your time. Thank you for your bravery, and we look forward to catching up again in the not too distant future.
Thank you.
You're listening to Early Edition with Ete. 531 PI is the station that brings all Pacific people together.